Okay, good evening. This is Elijah Nongo, a senior registrar in the Court of First Instance, Mbengui Momo High Court, a graduate from Enam. Okay, I will be taking you one of your specialty courses, which is criminal law and criminal procedure. But then we'll start with criminal law before we migrate to criminal procedure. So this is just your specialty course, and I think you need to be very keen to it, because for general knowledge, maybe Sir Godwill has been schooling you on that, and of course anybody can write, but when it comes to specialty courses, it needs your expertise. You need to show more different. You need to show more competent to be selected. And then I also wish to say that the course may seem complicated, especially for non-law students, people who have never done law before. And but I will try my best to bring down the language such that even a common man will understand. But if in any case you don't understand anything, you don't understand something on what I've said or what you have heard about criminal law, you can bring it up. You can always ask and I will get back to you. Okay. To begin with criminal law, we are going to see what crimes are. We'll see what crimes are. We'll see the classification of offenses. We'll see the application of criminal law. We'll see punishment. We'll see criminal responsibilities, and so on and so forth. So it will be erroneous for us to just go into criminal law and just start maybe specific offenses without you knowing what constitute a crime. So we will start with what crimes are. If you ask even law students at times, what is an offense? They may not be in the right position to tell you something reasonable. What is an offense? They may not tell you. And you studying criminal law, that should be the base. Because the only thing that distinguish maybe an action from being brought under civil, maybe civil court, commercial court, labor court, is that there are civil matters, there are labor matters, there are commercial matters. But each time the act in question is an offense, automatically it is going to the criminal court. It is true that some civil matters, some civil actions are also crime, are also criminal in nature, but with time we'll try to point out some of those things. So you enjoy the course as we go on. Now let us start with the law governing criminal law in Cameroon. You need to know that thanks to her bajura nature, Cameroon, I don't want to go to colonizations 19 by the Germans. I think it's 12th of July 1884, I think. Where Germans annex Cameroon, we're using their laws and so on. But it until the outbreak of the First World War, right, in 1914, and ended in Cameroon in 1916, and in 1918 it ended in the war at large. Ended in the war at large. So normally Germans were outstepped in Cameroon, and Cameroon was partitioned into English and French. So that is why I said thanks to her bajura nature. And Cameroon became a mandate territory of the League of Nations in 1919. So with French taking 4 feet of the territory and English 1 feet, or you can say, however you put it. So you see that we have two different laws that technically were governing us in Cameroon. But there was a need for unification. When we stayed like that till 1960 and 1961, where French Cameroon got her independence in 1960, us, English Cameroon, we got ours in 1961. So now in 1965, that is after independent, right? After independent, the first book of criminal law came out. You can call it book one. So that one is governed by law number 65 by LF by 24th of 24 November 1965. So what is this law about? Law number 65 by LF. LF mean law of federation, because we're there at like the Federal Republic of Cameroon, you know, at that time. So in 1965, we have law number 65 by LF by 24 of 24th November 1965. So this law governs book one of the penal code. And book one of the penal code is what we call general principle of criminal law. General principles of criminal law. And that runs from section one of the penal code right up to section 101 of the penal code. So 2 years after, that is 1967, another law came up to govern specific offenses. So when we cited the first law, we say govern just general principle. Why do we call it general principle? Because it is those are principles that applies to all aspects of criminology, you see. Yeah. So in 1967, another law came up to govern book two of the penal code. So that was law number 67 by LF. LFC stands for Law of Federation. Francophones will say DF, meaning Droit de Fédération. Yeah. So you have law number 67 by LF by 1, or you can say 01, or you say 1 of 12 June 1967. So this law governs book 2 of the penal code, and it is what we call specific offenses. Specific offenses. So meaning if you want to classify, or if you are talking of offenses, specific offenses, offenses against the state, offenses against property, offenses against, yes, or fatal offenses, murder, and so on. You should start from section 102 to the last section of the penal code, because this is where book 2 starts, from section 102 to the last section. So this law governs book 2 of the penal code, which is called specific offenses. So these are the two laws that we're applying as far as criminal law is concerned, at this early age. We just got our independence in 1960 and 1961. We came together. So in 1965, we came up with this law. So this was our own law. But there was a need to harmonize two laws, to join the two laws. So like I said, I'm bringing down the English. You know, law terms, legal jargons are technically not really understood by me or by common man. Oh, yeah, see? So, but it is necessary. You cannot also do law without calling some of those terms. So, in as much as I try to avoid it, you will still hear it. Yeah. So, if you hear you don't understand, you just make it known. So, I will be able to come back to you. Okay. So those are the two laws. So in 2016, there was a need to harmonize the two laws, to come out with a single instrument. That is why we came out with law number 2016 by 007 of 12 July 2016 to govern the Cameroon Penal Code. So now, that is the law that governs the Cameroon Penal Code. And if you should forget even that of book one or that of book two, you should not forget the general law, which is the 2016 by 007 of 12 July 2016. What this law did is it merely combined book one and book two to form a single instrument. That is what it harmonized. That is a harmonization. It unified the two laws to form the penal code that we are using now. So now let us go to a sacrosanct something that is very pertinent: crime. The question is, what is crime? You know, if you ask a common man, a non-legal or a non-law student as to what is crime, you just tell that anything that is bad, which is technically not the case. So in our studies today, you'll be able to know what actually crimes are. Okay, let us continue with crime. We say, The purpose of criminal law, the purpose of criminal law is to identify which particular type of conduct should be punished as crime, as which one should not be punished. That is the purpose of criminal law. So that is why we are tempted to say that an offense is what the law says is an offense. You cannot create your own offense. After studying law, if somebody asks you that, if somebody tells you that that thing that you are doing is an offense, you have the right to ask the person that which section of the penal code. Because if no section of the penal code punishes that particular act as a crime, therefore, that act is not a crime. We should not create our own law. As the law says so, that is the question. So, our definition of crime will be divided under four major categories. We'll see crime at one point to mean, we'll see it more as public wrong, you see. At the same time, we'll also see crime as moral wrong, as well as we'll see crime as attended by criminal proceedings before we see crime as legal wrong. So let us just see crime in this various aspect. In this various aspect, crime can be seen as a public wrong, can be seen as a moral wrong. Crimes can be seen as attended by criminal proceedings and as well as seen as a legal wrong. Let us start crime as a public wrong. What do we mean when they say crime is a public wrong? We mean that crime or offenses are not committed against an individual. Offenses are not committed against an individual. It is committed against the public. Some of you who did law, you'll be able to recall, to remember that in criminal court, you always hear this person against the people. This person against the people, and so on. Why? Because the people there is the people of Cameroon, right? The state. Or you say this against the state, yes. So, which is represented by the state council. So he's the public prosecutor. We see him as the public prosecutor. He's the public prosecutor because the crime is committed against the public. For example, if somebody enter and steal your property, what do? You take it to court. And in court, the state council will be the one prosecuting. In criminal law, we consider that it is rather the state council prosecuting. The state is the main prosecutor. You are coming as a witness, even though it is your case. You are a witness. So you see, it's a kind of, in law or in court, we always abbreviate as PW1, meaning prosecution witness number one, because the main prosecutor is the state council. So the crime is committed against the public, not against an individual. For example, if an offense is committed just against you, then the state has to wash its hands. But that is not the case. So far as it is an offense, it is committed against the public, and the state has to intervene for the interest of the public. So if you look at the definition preferred by Carleton Allen, he stated that crime is crime because it consists of wrongdoing, which directly and in a serious degree threaten the security or well-being of the society. And because it is not to leave it redressable only by compensation of the party injured. So you see, it causes great harm, great insecurity to the entire society. So crime technically is seen as a public wrong. As a public wrong. Again, you can see crime as a public wrong under section 64 sub 1. If you see 64 sub 1 of the criminal procedure code, not the penal code now. When we'll be doing criminal proceedings, you get used to criminal procedure. So now, I'm citing a different law. Criminal procedure is governed by law number 2005/007 of 27 July 2005. That one is on criminal procedure code. Don't go to that. We'll get there. But if you look at section 64, sub 1 of that law, it says that the Procureur General of the Court of Appeal may enter a nolle prosequi on the instruction of the minister in charge of justice. So what do we mean? We mean that what first of all is nolle prosequi. Nolle prosequi is a Latin that means we no longer wish to prosecute. It's a Latin that comes, or it's a word that comes to terminate criminal proceedings. So normally when criminal proceedings are instituted, it must go to a logical end. If you bring an action in court, a criminal action in court is different from civil actions that you can terminate it at any time. For criminal action, you don't terminate it. It must go to a logical end. But there's a possibility to terminate. By who? Not by the victim. Not by the injured party. By the Procureur General of the Court of Appeal. So meaning the Procureur General does not even have power, because it's the Procureur General of the Court of Appeal on the instruction of the minister in charge of justice. So the only competent person that has the right and the power to enter, to order for nolle prosequi, is the minister in charge of justice, ordering the Procureur General of the Court of Appeal to enter a nolle prosequi, that we know to stop a criminal case that he that has been going on. And the conditions are clear under Section 64, that when further prosecution would disturb public peace or public morals. So it is clear that crime is a public wrong. That crime is a public wrong. So you who brought the actions, or you who to whom your property has been stolen, you cannot say that, no, let me withdraw the claim. You can't. You can withdraw civil claim, but in criminal aspect, you cannot terminate criminal proceedings. The criminal proceedings must go to a logical end. And it can also be terminated by the minister in charge of justice only on a condition that further prosecution would disturb public peace. So you see it clear. Now, let us also see crime as a moral wrong. What do we mean by moral wrong? Meaning crime, you know, crime and morality are two different things. Or law in itself and morality are two different things. To an extent, if you should add religions, those are three different things. You may have good morals. What do we mean by morality? You see an elderly person, you greet that, good morning, pa, especially some of us from Northwest and Southwest region. We always greet. If you meet someone, you don't even know the person. You even see someone struggling, you don't know, just say, Ashiyama, and then you pass. That is, yeah. We say that you have moral, you have good moral. But if you pass an elderly person on the way without greeting, can the person sue you in court that you pass me without greeting? No. So you see, it is not a criminal act. You see, the law has not forbid it. So it is not a crime, actually. But those are moral. So I'm just trying to let you know that morality and crime are two different things. It is true that if you kill, according to the rule of morality, you don't have to kill. You don't have to tell lies against somebody or so on and so forth, which the law also prohibits such act. But not all rule of morality are actually embedded in law. But look at this. If we are considering, I do not want to go to religion again, because the rule of religion and also are very different. Even though most of those rule, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and so on and so forth, they are still incorporated in our law. So you see, they go together, but has their differences. They have their differences. For example, even when you violate the rule of religion, what happened? You wait for eternal condemnation. For us, when you violate the rule of law, it's sanction and punishment by the court. Okay, let us see so crime as a moral as a legal wrong merely mean that is it is legal, right? The law say that is an offense. Okay. And when you look at it critically, if you are seeing crime as a legal wrong, which is technically what happens today, it means that there is a law that has described that particular conduct, has defined that particular conduct as an offense, and then giving a punishment to that. That's the meaning of crime as a legal wrong. So a legal text has outlined the list of offenses, which is nothing but our criminal law, has outlined the list of offenses. This particular act is an offense. This particular act is an offense and is punishable from 5 to 10 years. It's punishable from 3 to 4 months. It is punishable from this to this. So you see. So now we have them in numbers. We have drug addictions, abortions, certain kind of sexual behavior, in fact, and so on and so forth. Homosexuality, theft, murder, and so on and so forth. So they are well defined by our penal code. Okay. Glanville William actually argues. It argues that the definition of crime cannot tell us what sort of conduct is a crime. Normally, if you just consider that, okay, crime is a legal wrong. So what sort of conduct is a crime? Until you go to the law, right? So it says that according to Glanville William, it says the definition of crime cannot tell us what sort of conduct is a crime. So to know what a crime is, there is unfortunately no escape from studying the criminal law. So you must study the criminal law to know what constitutes a crime. Because the crimes are listed in the criminal law. So in practical terms, the term crime should be reserved only for behavior that are legally defined as criminal. You know, we used to insult people in the quarter that you are a criminal. Has what the person committed or did, is it a crime? So we are saying that the word crime should be reserved only for behavior that are legally defined as criminal. So we are referring to our penal law or our criminal law. It is true that the major criminal law we have in Cameroon is the penal code, but it is not the sole criminal law. Penal code is not the sole criminal law. Why do we call penal code criminal law? Because it lays down offenses. It tells us the conduct that are criminal. You see? So if there is any law that gives us the list of offenses, that law automatically form part of the criminal law. So the penal code being the main or the major criminal law in Cameroon is not the only one. We also have the law on cyber criminality, the law on the suppression of act of terrorism, and so on and so forth. But penal code stands as the major or the most common criminal law. That is why we are mostly just calling our penal code and be going. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you look at section 17 of the penal code, that is what we mostly call the principle of legality. What does it say? It says that no act should be punished except the law says so, as well as no act or omission should constitute an offense or a crime unless provided for by the law. Now, listen to it. What the wordings of section 17. Of the penal code, it says no penalty or measure shall be imposed unless provided by law and except in respect of an offense lawfully defined. That is what they say. So any immoral or antisocial act or omissions not forbidden by the law is not criminal. If you should interpret this section 17 very well, let me read it again. It says that no penalty or measure shall be imposed unless provided by law and except in respect of an offense lawfully defined, meaning that the law must define, there must be a law defining that particular act as an offense before we say that it is an offense, as well as the law must have provided for a punishment before we punish it. That's what we are trying to say. So if the law has not defined a particular conduct as an offense, that conduct is not an offense. That's why we say even immoral or antisocial act or omissions that are not forbidden by the law, technically they are not offenses, they are not criminal in nature. For example, let me use the case of Cameroon. The penal code has not expressly punished fornication. If you read throughout, you will not see any section punishing fornication. So if somebody fornicates today, we say that the person has committed a crime. Of course, you are the one creating your own crime, right? You are the one creating your own crime. He has not committed any crime. But don't misinterpret the wordings of the law. Fornications, you know, when a married person and an sleep with someone else apart from his or her spouse, he's committing what we call adultery. But when two unmarried persons go to bed, they are committing what we call fornication. Now, the law has not punished fornication. So can we say fornication is an offense? No. The law expressly punishes adultery. Section 361 of the penal code is clear, right? And on adultery. But it has not punished fornication. But take note, if you fornicate with a child, the law punishes, talk of corruption of youth, they'll punish you under corruption of youth. They consider that the child does not know what he's doing. Like you deceive, even the child submitted it, the child accepted. When we say a child in criminal law, I think you should know that in criminal law, the child, infancy start at 18 years. Yes, but even here it's tempted to say, because civil maturity is 21 years, right? So when we talk of fornication, not punishable, we are referring to adult, not anyone below age. Because if you are below age, they will sanction. They will sanction that though you accepted, but you don't know, you don't really have the compos mentis, you don't really have the sound mind, or like you had it, but you don't really know what you are doing. Like the other person deceive you, yeah. And so on. I was just using as an example. So even how, no matter how bad, how immoral fornication may be between adult, it is not an offense. So before we say an offense, section 17 says that what, that it is that in Latin we say that nolum crimen sine lege, nolla poena sine lege, meaning nolum crimen sine lege, no offense without the law. Nolla poena sine lege, no punishment without the law. So if the law has not expressly said that this particular act is an offense, then we cannot say so. That act is not an offense. And if the law has not expressly provided for the punishment for a particular conduct, then that act should not be punished. That act should not be punished. That is what we are trying to say here. So section 17 is clear under legality. So crime technically is a legal wrong. What the law says is an offense. That is why if you ask me to define crime today, I can tell you that an offense is what the law says is an offense. Right? Section 17 is clear. And you cannot define criminal law, or you cannot define a crime, let me say crime, without citing section 17 of the penal code. Now, I just want to wish that you get it here very clear, such that you not go to the quarter and start saying to people you have committed an offense. Who says so? Whose section? So we do specific offenses, so don't bother. We are still getting introductions or trying to see how we can get into the course. Okay, if you look at section 21 of the penal code, it classified offenses into misdemeanor, simple offenses, and felony. Section 21 sub 1 sub A talks of a felony, that a felony is an offense, a more grievous offense or a severe offense that is punishable with an imprisonment of over 10 years or more than 10 years imprisonment and with fine if provided. And sub B, section 21 sub 1 sub B, would define a misdemeanor as an offense that is punishable with imprisonment or loss of liberty of more than 10 days, but not more than 10 years, and a fine of above 25,000 francs. And simple offenses under section 21 sub 1 sub A sorry, sub 21, sub 1, sub C. We say that is an offense that is punishable with loss of liberty for not more than 10 days with a fine of up to 25,000 francs. So you see, those are the three categories of offenses. Those are the three classifications of offenses. It's true that we are still going to do classification, right? Yes. But you should know that offenses are classified into three: simple offenses, misdemeanor, and felony. And it is with the punishment that we know whether this particular act is a simple offense, or it is a misdemeanor, or it is a felony. From section 21, we see that it depends on the punishment. If the law punishes something for more than 10 years, automatically that act is a felony. Under section 21, sub 1, sub A, that is a more severe penalty, act that is punishable with imprisonment of more than 10 years, life imprisonment, or death. It can be life imprisonment, can be death, right? Those are felonies, felonious in nature. So based on the punishment that is affixed to a particular offense, it tells us whether that offense fall under misdemeanor, simple offense, or felony. So that is it as far as offenses or a crime is concerned. So if you are asked to define a crime, you can kindly see a crime. You can kindly define crime as a public wrong. You can define crime as a public wrong. Again, you define crime as a moral wrong. You define crime as attended by criminal procedure. And most importantly, define crime as a legal wrong. The crime is that act that is forbidden, that is prohibited by the law. All right. So, if we should end here today, that is crime. I think when next a class is scheduled, so God will update you each time they give us the possibility and the opportunity to meet again, we will look at classification of offenses and also application of criminal law. So application of criminal law, we are going to look at that, and we'll look at classification of offenses. So that is it. Criminal law, you know, the law that governs criminal law in Cameroon, of course, the law governing the penal code, and trying to see what constitutes a crime, trying to see what crimes are in Cameroon. And then from there, we can kickstart next time to move in the speed of light. So you consume this one for today. If you have any question, feel free to direct it on how you get to me. You don't know if you ask God will or how you add it, such that it get to me. I will always respond. I will always answer your question. And then you consume this and get a good base on criminal law, so that by the time we start going to the details, to the nitty-gritties, by the time we start going to the details, you must have laid this foundation. You know where we are going to. You know, we cannot be talking about crime and maybe you start talking about divorce, you start talking about, is divorce a crime? No, the penal code has not said so, right? Those are civil matters. So we limit ourselves to criminal law. We limit ourselves to penal code. Let me put it like that. Those acts that are forbidden by the penal code. So not other antisocial act, not antisocial behavior, not any act that is maybe immoral. But we limit to what the law says. You see, that is crime. So when we are talking, we are limiting ourselves to what the law says. So criminal law actually is a substantive law, right? So this is the more acceptable definition of criminal law. So criminal law is a substantive law. What do we mean by substantive? It's not procedural. Procedural is criminal procedure, which we will see in the days ahead. So criminal laws are substantive law that governs or that lay down the various offenses and their punishment. That is it. That is the purpose of criminal law. It's a substantive law that lays down offenses and their punishment. That is all. That is all. That is all. So go ahead now to define crime. So that makes it for today. You, in the absence of any question, you stay blessed. I'm sure as soon as possible, as classes are organized again, we'll always meet. Thank you. Let us see crime as a moral wrong. When we say moral wrong, normally we used to define crimes or some at times as that crimes are actions that are antisocial to society, or acts that are morally wrong. So, but technically, that is not a standard and a well acceptable definition for crime. At the end of this lesson, we'll be able to see what constitutes a crime, because the purpose of criminal law is to punish crime and to prosecute. That is criminal procedure now. So the purpose of criminal law is to say, is to tell us what an offense is, and the type of and what punishment is attached to it. So if you don't know what, first of all, an offense is, you have get it wrong. That is why we are stressing here on this part. So seeing crime as a moral wrong, there are certain things. Let us look at the Wolfenden Committee on Homosexuality and Prostitution. What happened is, there was a need when we are coming toward independence, we're approaching independence, there was a need to come out with our own criminal law, I think you know. But a committee was set up that we call a Wolfenden Committee on Homosexuality and Prostitution. So the purpose of that committee was to inquire, was to deliberate on homosexuality and prostitution. On this, if people or two male, that's homosexuality, right, enter in the house, they do their thing there, they close the gate, they enter the parlor, they close the parlor, they go to the room, so they close it. It does not disturb the public, right? And they do their things there, they commit their homosexuality there. Should the law punish it? That was the question. Again, we talk of homosexuality and prostitution. If someone is like a prostitute, but not disturbing the public anyway, she enters the house with a guy, they make sure they lock everywhere, and they close the window and so on and so forth. Should the law punish it? They do their things in private. That is the interest. They do everything in private. Should the law punish it? So this commission sat for three good years. After deliberating for 3 good years, the Wolfenden Committee on Homosexuality and Prostitution, after deliberating for 3 good years, they came out with their result, or with the commission, that the law should not prognose itself to people's privacy. So meaning, if you commit the adultery, or sorry, you commit the prostitution in public, or you do certain things in public, so that the law should be concerned with what is done in public, what disturb public peace, and the law should not poke its nose to people's privacy. So if you do your things in private, the law should not come to punish you if you do it in private. Now, that was the deliberation which Lord the learned judge, Lord Devlin, frowns at that. But before we look at what Lord Devlin said about that, the position has changed anyway. The position has changed even in England. So we can see the case of Shaw against DPP. Shaw is SHAW against DPP. Again, you just write V dot. That's how we write it. DPP is DPP, meaning Director of Public Prosecution, in 1961. So there was a case like this in England. What happened is that they prohibit, at this time in England, prostitution was prohibited. So they had a place where ladies used to stand and do their prostitution. I think even here in Cameroon, we have it at Minifem and maybe any other places that you know in Yaoundé. But what happened is that at this point in England, at this time, it was prohibited. So they scattered them. They scattered those ladies. But what Mr. Show did is that Mr. Show got to these ladies, get their contact, and publish a book called The Ladies Directrice. The title of his book was The Ladies Directrice. And here, he posts their locations, posts their even pictures, phone numbers, you know. Yes. So in this book. So if you get the book, you can still get to those prostitutes. You see their pictures, see their phone numbers, see their address, and so on and so forth. So you choose your own and call. So now, this matter went to court. This matter went to court in England. And the court condemned Mr. Show for conspiracy. For conspiracy to corrupt public morals. So that the act in question is immoral. That the act in question is immoral. So the Mr. Show was convicted for conspiracy to corrupt public morals. Now, the matter went to the court of to the House of Lords. The House of Lords in law, most of the time, in England, most of the time, refer to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in England. So the House of Lords upheld the decision of the lower court. They approved it and ruled that the House of Lords ruled that the court is the custodian of public morals. You see, that the court is the custodian of public morals, meaning the court has that power to ensure morality. So any act that goes contrary to morality, the court can punish. So that is how Mr. Show was condemned. So that is clear to show that an offense can be seen as a public, as a moral wrong, as a moral wrong. What is immoral? Of course, a crime cannot, first of all, constitute what is moral. You cannot do something moral and they prosecute you for crime. They consider it to be crime. Okay, now, let us see the next one, crime attended by criminal proceedings. What do we mean here? We mean that a crime, you know, crime is defined in the criminal law and must have a procedure to follow. And that procedure is criminal procedure, which we are going to see in the days ahead. So we will not really stress on this one, even though criminal procedure here may mislead some of you, because there's also the aspect of civil proceedings, where so on and so forth. But we are saying that the violation, the infringement, or the injury that you have caused or that constitute an offense must be that which is attended by criminal procedure. So therefore, a crime is generally agreed to be an act that is capable of being followed by criminal proceedings. Okay. Now, let us see the last part, which is crime as a legal wrong.